Man, the title of my sermon this morning is Dinah Defiled. We have this tragic story in Genesis chapter 34 about Dinah being defiled and the aftermath of this. You probably thought we were through with rough Bible stories for a while since we just finished the book of Judges, but we got one more for you, one bonus story here. But it starts out in Genesis chapter 34, verse 1, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And this story starts out pretty innocent. I mean, it's pretty normal for a young lady to want to go out and hang around with other friends. She wants to go to the mall. She wants to go hang around with the girls of the land and have a social life and go out and have fun. But we see in verse number 2, when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. Let me stop right here and point out the fact. She did not go out seeking to find some dude to shack up with. That wasn't her intention. She didn't go out and say, hey, let's go find some cute boys or something. You know, she said, I'm going out to see the daughters of the land. It starts out totally innocent, just a normal desire for a young lady to have. But here's the problem. She's unsupervised. Okay, she's going out amongst worldly people, amongst the heathen of the land, unsupervised, and it ends up being a tragedy. It ends up going wrong. And guess what? If you send your daughters out to go see the daughters of the land out into the heathen of this world, and they're unsupervised, you know, it's very likely that something similar is going to happen. Otherwise, why is this story even in the Bible? I mean, is God just giving us every twist and turn in the lives of every Bible character? I mean, in the book of Genesis, we have hundreds of people involved, lots and lots of characters, and we don't get every detail of their lives. In fact, God will just skip over 20 years of this person's life, skip over 30 years. I guarantee you all kinds of wild things happened in those 20 years or those 30 years. You know, God has specifically given us particular Bible stories for us to learn from. And the Bible says that the things that are written in the law of Moses are written for our admonition, our example upon whom the ends of the world are come. You say it's outdated. Wrong. It's more relevant now than it was when it was penned. Because God specifically says in 1 Corinthians 10 that these things were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So it's actually more for us than it was for them. It's written more for us than it was for them. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10. So this is something that we need to take heed to. Now, the first thing I want to point out is that this story is often misunderstood, misconstrued, and taught wrongly as being the, quote, rape of Dinah. That is not what happened in this story. That is not what the Bible teaches. That's a twisting of the story. And what actually happened is that he seduced Dinah. But what took place was consensual, because look what the Bible says in verse number 19. Jump down to verse number 19. The Bible says, and the young man deferred not to do the thing because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. Now, does that sound like the way the Bible would describe a rapist? Oh, he's the most honorable guy in the whole house of his father. And he loved Dinah. It says that he spake kindly to her. He loved her. And he was more honorable. That's not how the Bible's going to describe a rapist. The Bible says that rapists should be put to death. Okay? The Bible's not going to describe them as being the most honorable guy in that family. Okay? This is not a situation where she was forced. I mean, what does the Bible actually say? It says in verse 2, he saw her, he took her, he lay with her, and defiled her. The Bible uses another word when someone's forced. It says he forced her. And I could show you a bunch of Bible stories where forcing took place. But there's no language like that here, because that's not what happened. Because she went out to hang around with the daughters of the land, and then this dude sees her, seduces her, and next thing you know, fornication takes place. That's what happened in this Bible story. That's what the sin was. fornication. Because any time you have that relationship outside of marriage, it is sinful. It doesn't matter if it's consensual, it is still sinful to commit fornication. That's why the Bible says, hey, this thing ought not to be done. Now, the reason for this other interpretation is because, you know, your typical Jew today, they don't think there's anything wrong with having premarital relations. They think fornication is just fine, and they use Hollywood to promote fornication all over the world. So they're not offended by fornication, so they have to add some, well, you know, the reason this was wrong is because it wasn't consensual. No, the reason it was wrong is because they weren't married. That's the thing that ought not to be done. Because when they say at the end of the chapter, I mean, what are the last words of this chapter when Simeon and Levi are being rebuked by their dad? They said in verse 31, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? Should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? Look, the Bible teaches that when you're out sleeping together before you're married, you're dealing with them as with a harlot. That's what the rest of Scripture teaches, is what I'm saying. I'm not getting that from this verse. I'm getting that from all over the Bible. The Bible talks about a girl who's living at home with her parents and she goes out and has premarital relations with a guy. It calls it playing the whore in her father's house. That's the Bible's language. She played the harlot. She played the whore. So when they say, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? Let me ask you something. Are harlots being violated against their will? Literal prostitutes? Are they being forced? Or is that a consensual act? That's a consensual act. So that, again, what I'm saying is all of the evidence points to this being consensual. If you study the scripture, you read the whole chapter, it's crystal clear. This is a consensual act. The heinousness of it is the fact that it's fornication. But see, a lot of people can't wrap their mind around that. Well, there must be something else going on here, because they have somehow thought that fornication's okay. But fornication is a major sin in the Bible, and you're supposed to wait until you're married to have that relationship. So the Bible says in Genesis chapter 34, verse 5, and Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. So he hears about how this happened, this fornication took place. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very wroth. So her brothers are very angry about this. They're very wroth because he had wrought folly in Israel in forcing Jacob's daughter. Is that what it says? No, it's just they wrought folly just by lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. Why? Because you're dealing with her as with a harlot. Now look, we need to get off of the world's values of 2021, get off of what America says is right and wrong in 2021. We need to get on God's morality and say, look, if you're out sleeping with some girl before you're married, you're dealing with her as with a harlot. That's what the Bible calls you, a whoremonger. If you're out with a bunch of women, whether you're paying for it or not, if you're just out with a bunch of different women, you're a whoremonger. And if you're out being with dudes before you're married, and getting in bed with dudes before you're married, you're a whore. That's what the Bible says. But today we have a problem with that because we've gotten on a different morality that has been taught us by the Jews. It's been taught us by Hollywood. It's been taught us by Madison Avenue. It's been taught us by false religion. And it is not the Bible's morality. The Bible says to flee fornication, abstain from fornication. Marriage is honorable in all. And the bed of marriage is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And that's what we need to get into our minds as the morality that God approves of. And you know what? This world just keeps getting weirder. And so what are they going to think is okay next? You know, you might think, well, fornication is not that bad. Yeah, but 20 years from now, things that you're horrified by, you know what people are going to be saying? It's not that bad. And 50 years from now, things that would absolutely horrify you, they'll say it's no big deal. Well, guess what? Fornication used to horrify people. It used to be considered a wicked sin, and we need to get back to that in the house of God. Let the world out there shack up like stray cats and dogs, but we as God's people need to wait until we're married and have a godly marriage relationship. And you know what? If you're offended because you've already made this mistake, you know what? Get right with God, because if you've already made this mistake, you shouldn't want other people to make that mistake. okay? Even if you made this mistake, it doesn't mean you should want your kids to make this mistake. You should want your kids to be pure. You should want your kids to be a virgin when they get married, because that's what the Bible teaches. Now go, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 7. How did this horrible tragedy happen? This terrible tragedy. One of the things I want to point out is that when Dinah commits fornication, when Dinah is defiled by Shechem, you know, the dad is very wroth. He's very upset about it. And you know what? Her brothers are upset about it too. Simeon and Levi, they're pretty mad too. And we're going to see that they get a little too mad. They go a little bit overboard in how mad they are. But the brothers are angry and they have this attitude of, hey, you know, how dare this guy treat our sister in this way? Well, you know what? We need today fathers today that want to protect their daughters, and we need brothers that want to protect their sisters. Amen. You know, a brother should want to protect the honor and the virtue of his sister and not lead her into temptation or put her in weird situations, but rather dads and brothers need to be looking out for the young ladies of the family. Amen? Amen. You know, it used to be a thing that you'd think of, hey, this girl's got an older brother, I better mind my P's and Q's. And, you know, we need to get back to that, where older brothers care about the virtue and the dignity and the purity of their sister. You know, in the Bible, people cared about that. That mattered. It mattered to Jacob. It mattered to Simeon and Levi. In their case, it mattered a little too much, but it should matter. We need to be protective of the women in our family. Why did this tragedy happen in the first place? It's because she was not chaperoned. It's because she didn't have anybody watching out for her, supervising her, protecting her from the advances of this guy. That's the issue. Okay, now look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 5. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger with flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. This guy's an idiot, right? He lacks knowledge and understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Now look, right here we see the attributes of the strange woman. In addition to being loud and stubborn, she's also dressed immodestly. She's in the attire of a harlot. What would you think of as the attire of a harlot? I mean, the thing that would immediately pop into my mind is a short party dress or a mini skirt or like super high shoes and a super short skirt, tight-fitting clothes, right? I mean, you'd expect her probably to be caked in makeup and everything else. You know, you figure it out. I don't need to explain it to you. The Bible says the attire of an harlot, you go figure it out. I think it's pretty obvious to anyone what that is and what that style is and what that looks like. And so it says here she's got the attire of a harlot. She's loud. She's stubborn. It's the exact opposite of a virtuous woman who has a meek and quiet spirit. And she is dressed modestly. She's adorned in modest apparel. But here she's out at night. Do not miss some of the things that are in this passage here. Don't get so focused on the loud, stubborn attire of a harlot. Don't miss the fact that her feet abide not in her house. Verse 11. Her feet abide not in her house. Look, the virtuous woman is a homemaker. That's what the Bible teaches, right? The virtuous woman is a homemaker. How do you know that? Well, Titus chapter 2, you stay there in Proverbs, but Titus chapter 2, verse 4 says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste. What's the next phrase? Keepers at home. Keepers at home. Good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Being out all the time is not a virtue for women according to Scripture. Constantly out, out at night, just out everywhere. Her feet abide not in her house. This woman does not stay home. Her feet abide. Does everybody get what I'm saying? I mean, this isn't really that complicated, is it? Like, let me slow down a little bit. Her feet abide not in her house. I mean, what does that mean? She doesn't stay home. I mean, it's like she comes in the door and boom, she's out the door again. Comes in, whoop, it's a revolving door at that front door. You say, well, you know, why can't she go out and do whatever she wants? Well, you know what? She can. If she wants to be a strange woman, if she wants to be lacking in virtue, if she wants to be unchristian, if she wants to get defiled like Dinah, yeah, go out and party and party and party and constantly out and about, constantly out, out, out. But look, the Bible teaches here that the godly woman is a keeper at home. She takes care of things at home. And you know what it says about the strange woman? Her feet abide not in her house. Isn't that the exact opposite of being a keeper at home? Yeah. Now look, is the Bible saying women should be shut up in the house and they can never leave? Is that what it's saying? No, because we see the virtuous woman going out and doing things. But you know what? Going out is great. But you know what? You need to go out chaperoned. You know, you need to go out in appropriate situations. You need to go out in the daytime, in the daylight. Not just out at night, you're by yourself, you're with your friend, you're with the daughters of the land. That's when bad things are going to happen, my friend. And a lot of what I'm saying might fly in the face of our culture or your personal values, but we need to get on the Bible's program here. I mean, we would all agree that a woman being loud and stubborn is ungodly, according to this verse in Proverbs 7. We would all agree that this is saying, hey, don't put on the attire of an harlot. Well, you know, we should also notice that part about her feet abiding not in her house and realize that, you know what, as a woman, I should get used to spending time at home. I should enjoy spending time at home, right? Get used to spending time in the kitchen, spending time taking care of the house, spending time taking care of children, taking care of the yard, just being at home. And you know what, being at home, it's not a bad place. Being at home is a nice place. You're like, no, I just have to be out, out, constantly, out on Monday, out on Tuesday, out on Wednesday. No. And look, the Bible's not saying you never get out, but the Bible's saying you spend a lot of time at home. And then when you do get out, you get out in situations that are appropriate. You know, you get out with your brother, you get out with your parents, you get out in a situation where it's daylight, where there's accountability, where you're safe, where you're not in a situation to be preyed upon by the Shechems of this world. Now, I don't know about you, but Shechem seems like a pretty nice guy to me. And in fact, the Bible says he's a pretty nice guy. The Bible says that he's more honorable than all the rest of his father's house. Sounds like a pretty nice guy, huh? But let me tell you something about the nice guys out there that are not Christians, though. Guess what? They think it's just fine to just hop into bed with you and be nice about it. And they'll say nice things, and they'll be so nice, it's going to be nice, 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 until everybody gets mutilated and killed at the end of the story. I didn't write the Bible, but that's how the story ends up happening. So, it says here, her feet abide not in her house. That phrase must mean something. If you don't like my interpretation, I challenge you to go figure out a meaning for that. And then whatever meaning you figure out, apply that to your life. But go figure something out, because you can't just skip that. He's saying, look, what's she like? Well, she's loud, she's stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now she's in the streets, she lies in wait at every corner. I mean, she's just out, out, out. She's a party girl. She's just constantly got to be out. Now look, again, maybe there's not even, now this girl in Proverbs 7, she has a nefarious intent. Go if you would to Deuteronomy chapter 22. But Dinah, you know, Dinah just went out to see the daughters of the land. She wasn't trying to fornicate or be seduced or looking for a boyfriend. She's out to see the daughters of the land. But guess what? When you're out in these worldly situations with no supervision and no adult, you know what's going to happen? Things that you didn't plan on are going to happen. And when that super honorable dude comes along, Shechem, Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Smooth Talking Guy, you know what? You are too young and inexperienced and too weak spiritually to be able to withstand his advances. And you think, no, you don't understand. I know how to handle it. Hey, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. You think like, oh, well, I'm not going to fall for that. I'm not going to give in to some dude. But then that suave looking debonair dude starts putting the moves on you. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're just out of control and you don't even know what you're doing. And you can basically get sucked in. That's why it's called seduction, right? You can get beguiled. You can get seduced. You can get tricked. Do not let this happen. And look, marrying the guy later doesn't undo the fact that there was a major sin committed there. I mean, Shechem wants to fix it, right? Hey, let me fix this. Let's get married. But it didn't really end up fixing it in Genesis 34, did it? It didn't get fixed. Now, the next point I want to make is that it's the parents' job to protect and supervise their daughter. It's the parents' job to protect and supervise their daughter. Look at Deuteronomy 22, verse 13. If any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her and give occasions of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother. So is it just dad's responsibility? Just dad. It's dad's responsibility. No. The Bible says the father of the damsel and her mother. So both of them. Take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid. And a maid means a virgin. This is an old word for that. Maidenhead is the ancient word for virginity. And yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city, and the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him, and they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver, which is a huge amount of money, and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife, and he may not put her away all his days. Now, this is the origin of today's defamation lawsuit. Right? You've heard of a defamation lawsuit. You know, if you lie and slander someone and defame their character publicly, and you prove that it wasn't true, and it's proven that it wasn't true, then the person who lied has to pay damages financially to the person that was lied about. So here's a defamation lawsuit here where, you know, they're saying that this girl wasn't a virgin and she was a virgin. And who gets paid? The dad gets paid 100 shekels of silver because he's basically the one that's being criticized here. Basically, it's bringing a reproach upon him and upon his wife. Like, basically, you're saying that we allowed our daughter to do this stuff. You know, how dare you accuse us of that? So we see that there's a connection between the parents' responsibility in keeping their daughter safe, protecting her, guarding her, and making sure that their daughter doesn't commit fornication. And it says, but if this thing be true and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel. Does that phrase sound a little familiar? That sound familiar? Wrought folly in Israel? Have we heard that before? Where have we heard that before? Genesis 34, exact wording. Which, in fact, in Genesis 34, it seems out of place. Doesn't it seem out of place when it says in Genesis 34, hey, this guy wrought folly in Israel? Because you're kind of thinking to yourself, like, is there a country called Israel? Is there a place called Israel yet? Because there isn't, is there? The place called Israel comes later, okay? But when they say wrought folly in Israel, obviously in that context, they're just referring to basically their plantation, or, you know, they're referring to their tribe, their little situation there. Not a nation of Israel, but just Israel, you know, is basically our crew, our group, our family. But it's no coincidence that that lingo is used in Genesis 34 that's a little bit out of the ordinary, saying wrought folly in Israel, recording it that way in scriptures, a little bit out of the ordinary. But God does things like that so that we can make connections. You know, when we see the same exact wording in Genesis 34 as Deuteronomy 22, we can get this understanding that playing the whore in her father's house. Look at verse 21 there. She wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. You know, is a similar situation to what we saw in Genesis 34. He wrought folly in Israel by fornicating with Dinah. Here this girl is wreaking folly in Israel because of the fact that she ends up, you know, losing her virginity before getting married. It's a bad thing. So shalt thou put away, so shalt thou put evil away from among you. So, I mean, this is some hard stuff. But guess what? I didn't write it. It's in the Bible. These are hard teachings. In fact, I think there's even like a whole website about it called hardpreaching.com. You know, the point is, you know, you should come to an independent fundamental Baptist church and expect to hear some hard preaching. See, other churches are going to skip these subjects. They're going to skip these stories. They're not going to talk about this. They're going to just take the girls just want to have fun kind of approach. Okay? Instead of having the approach that says, hey, we need to make sure and keep our daughters protected and safe and guard them and not let them go out and gallivant and be out all night and partying and out by themselves and no supervision, no adult, etc. You know, we need to take some responsibility for making sure that our kids are protected, especially our daughters, okay? Now, here's the thing. When you're raising sons, and people would say that I have a double standard about this, yes, I do. Yes, I have. I, Stephen Anderson, have a double standard. I, Stephen Anderson, have a different standard for men and women because I'm not buying into this non-binary gender-neutral junk of 2021. There is a difference between men and women. Men and women are different. They're not the same. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to our sons have to go out and work for a living. They need to go out and learn a trade, learn a career, get a job, get out into the workforce, and they get exposed to some gnarlier stuff than our daughters do because of the fact that they're going out there on the construction sites and they're going out there and they're being exposed to all these things and having to deal with that stuff. And you have to give them freedom because they're going to be the leaders. They're going to be out running their own household, and they have to have that freedom to do that. Whereas here's the thing. Girls are supposed to go from living at home with their parents to living with their husband. And their husband takes care of them. First, their parents take care of them. Then eventually, their husband takes care of them. That is God's plan. It's not God's plan for women to just get out there and just be their own free agent and just they just turn 18 and they just go out and they're single and they got their career. And folks, it's a disaster. That's why all over America, independent Baptist churches, there's like a missing demographic in so many independent Baptist churches where you just have no young single adult ladies. It's like you have teenagers and then you'll have a bunch of single dudes between 18 and 24 or 18 and 30. You'll have a bunch of single dudes and then there's just no single girls that age hardly at all. And then you have all these married women with little kids. But it's like, where is that demographic of single young ladies? I'll tell you where they are. They're out partying. They're out shacking up. They're out rebelling against their parents. That's where they're at right now, unfortunately. And you know, thank God for the exceptions. You know, thank God for the young single girls that when they're 18, 19, 20, they stay right with God. They stay right with their parents. They submit themselves unto their parents. They submit themselves to God, and they keep doing what's right instead of just going out there and living a worldly life. And even if the intent isn't bad, of just, hey, I just want to have a little fun. I just want to have a little freedom. I just want to do my own thing. Hey, you might go into it with, I just want to see the daughters of the land. I'm not going to fornicate. Yeah, famous last words of Dinah. Okay? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You get out there, and you're in an environment that you're not designed to be in, and bad things are likely to happen. You know, things have their natural environment, right? The fish belongs in the water, right? Swimming around, the bird flies through the air, right? If we put the bird underwater, there's a problem. Take the fish, put it on the dry land, you know, there's gonna be a problem. Things have a certain order, a certain way that they're supposed to be. You know, if we took some animal from a hot climate and dropped it off in a cold place, it's it's going to have problems. You know, sometimes you'll drive somewhere and some bug will get in, and then you'll drive it like to some other state and it flies out and you're just like, good luck, buddy. I mean, it's like, good luck finding a mate. You know, good luck in this environment. Like, you know, I took you from a forest into the desert. It's like, you don't know what you signed on for with this ride, buddy. Have fun getting back to home. I'm telling you, you know, women are designed to play a certain role in the family, to play a certain role in life. Men are designed to play a certain role, to be in a certain environment. And we've got to keep things in balance. And it's not that men are better than women. They're not. Men are not better than women. But men are stronger than women. There are many areas where women are better and smarter and more skilled and vice versa. They're just different. Men are men, women are women. They're not the same. And if you think they are the same, you're buying into this junk that the world is feeding you, whereas the Bible teaches there's a difference. Okay? So the thing is, you know, women are supposed to be living at home with their parents when they're a young person. And then, I mean, what do you think we're doing in the wedding when we walk our daughter down the aisle? You know, I guess nowadays that's just some archaic tradition that we don't even understand. You know what it's supposed to be, though? It's supposed to be that I'm passing my daughter off. She's not my responsibility. Now she's your responsibility. She was under my authority. Now she's under your authority. You know, in reality, in today's world, it'd be more accurate if women just walked themselves down the aisle. Because dad has had nothing to do with their life for 5 years, 10 years, 50. It's just like, you're just out doing your own thing. The whole point of walking your daughter down the aisle is you're saying, look, I've cared for her. I've nourished her. I've taken care of her. She's been my responsibility. I've raised her. I've been the authority. And now I'm passing that in an unbroken chain. I'm passing that to you as the husband. That's what's supposed to happen, my friend. It's what the Bible teaches. The Bible even talks about women, even when their husband dies, going back and living with their parents in the culture of the Bible's times. So don't tell me that it's biblical or righteous for an 18-year-old girl to just go out and just do her own thing and have total freedom. You know what? That's the wrong kind of freedom. Okay, and you know, you say, well, girls just want to have fun. You know, it's funny. I saw a public service announcement played on a TV that literally played that song. Girls just want to have fun. And it literally was just like putting statistics about girls being abused, molested, violated, human trafficked. And it was playing the song. Oh, they just want to have fun. But it's like, and I think that the singer of that song was actually like behind the commercial. Like she had donated to help stop girls from getting abused, and she had donated, you know, and don't quote me on this because I might be getting the details wrong, but it's not gonna change the point that I'm about to make. But you know, I believe she had even had some kind of a foundation or some kind of a charity where she was, but it's like, okay, but yeah, but your song is talking about the virtues of being out all night and coming home as the morning light. You know what I mean? It's like, wait a minute, guess why girls are being abused? Because they're out doing whatever instead of, you know, being responsible and their parents being responsible and keeping them safe and pure and keeping their dignity intact. And here's the thing, you know, it might be like, oh no, it's not that I want to go out and be with a bunch of dudes. I just want to go to college and get educated down there. But here's the thing, guess what's going to happen when you go down to the college? There's going to be a whole bunch of unsaved worldly guys, and they're going to be like that guy in the yellow suit behind the tree. They're going to see you coming a mile away, and they see this beautiful, feminine, pure Christian girl. And look, I'm not even saying that they're all horrible people. I'm saying even the nice guys are going to be sitting there, and they're going to be scheming on you, and next thing you know, you're dating some unsaved guy, you're fornicating with some unsaved guy, you're living with some unsaved guy, and folks, even if the Bible said nothing about it, you know what? I'd still know this is true because I've seen it hundreds of times, because I've been a Christian my whole life, because I've been in church for 30-some years, and I've seen it again and again and again. And you say, well, you know, it's not that I want to go out and date some unsaved dude. It's just that I can make a little extra money by working at Taco Bell or McDonald's or whatever. I just want a little pocket money. I just want a little spending money. Hey, look, I get it. I understand why girls want a little pocket money. I understand wanting to get educated. I understand wanting to go out and have a little fun and just hang around with your girlfriends. I get it. But you know what? That's all Dinah was trying to do either. But what happens is when you go out amongst worldly, heathen, unsaved people, and you're not supervised, there's no adult, there's no big brother, there's no dad there looking out for you, well, guess what? This is what's going to happen. Otherwise, the story wouldn't be in the Bible if it didn't happen. And I can tell you personally about it happening a million times. And let me tell you, Dad, something. Whatever your daughter is making down at fast food, okay? You know what? You'd be better off just putting in a few hours of overtime or just, you know, working a second job or whatever than to just spend your life raising your daughter, teaching her to be pure, teaching her to be godly, shielding her from these things. And then when she's 16, it's like, all right, here you go. Drop you off with the derelicts working down at the fast food place. Amen. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Just go off. Just head off to community college. Head off to university and just, you know, just be good. Let me tell you something. These guys, they know what they're doing. They know how to put the moves on you. And you will be susceptible to their charms. You will fall for it in many cases. And, you know, you may be so prideful. I can handle it. But you know what? As a dude, we could say the same thing. We could say, I can handle the casino. I can handle the strip club. I can handle, you know, and you'd say, you're an idiot. That's like say, oh, I'm on a diet, right? I'm on a diet, but I can handle going to Cold Stone Creamery. And, you know, I can go to the all-you-can-eat buffet, and I'll just eat a little hors d'oeuvre. If you're on a diet, you don't just go to just all these all-you-can-eat buffets every day. Eventually, you're going to break. I can handle having a cupboard full of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Fruity Pebbles, even though I'm on a diet. I can't handle it. I've had the, look, I'll confess my fault. I have those Cinnamon Toast Crunch binges 10, 11 at night sometimes. Okay? I can handle it. I'm super Christian. Hey, the Bible says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The Bible says, flee fornication. But a prideful person says, I don't need to flee anything. Because I don't need to flee fornication. What, you think I'm scared? Do you want me to run away scared? Flee? I don't flee nothing. You better flee fornication, because let me tell you something. Fornication can overpower you. So don't stay and fight fornication. Run away. Get away. Get out of that situation. Don't resist temptation. Avoid temptation. Now look, if you're in temptation, resist it. But you know what's a lot better than resisting temptation? Just not having temptation. I mean, what's easier if you're on a diet? Just having that dessert right in front of you? I mean, what if I just stocked my bedroom with just all kinds of just chocolatey snacks and just all kinds of treats? You think that's going to help my diet? No. It's absurd. Folks, what I'm talking about is common sense. Okay, and let me tell you something. You know, you girls that just say, oh, well, you know, we just want to go out and just have some fun and whatever. But here's the thing about that. There's a lot of stuff that everybody wants to do that they can't do. It's called rules. It's called life. It's called God's laws. Do you think that anybody in life just does everything that they want? Every single one of us here today at Faith Forward Baptist Church on a Sunday morning, Christian people, guess what? Every single week, you know what we do? Stuff that we don't like doing. Who here does stuff that you don't like doing each week? Because there's something you do in a week's course that you don't enjoy, that you don't like. And there are constantly things that we want to do that we don't do. We don't just spend every dollar we want to spend, eat every food we want to eat, drink every drink that we want to drink, go every place we want to go. And it's just, you know, well, why don't I get to do what I want? Because you don't get to do what you want because you're a human being on planet Earth. Because that's just not the way the world works. That's not the way life works. There are boundaries. There are rules. And people who go out and just do whatever they feel like doing, man, they destroy their lives fast. Fast. Everybody's got rules. You say, ah, it's not fair. I don't like these rules. You know, your parents' rules are not that bad. And don't get mad at your parents for doing what God commanded them to do. They love you. They're looking out for you. They don't want to see you as some burned out whore when you're 30. And you would not be the first and you wouldn't be the last if that happened. Your parents are protecting you. They love you. They care about you. They're putting boundaries around you. They're giving you rules because they want you to live a happy, blessed life. Now look, how do you think Dinah felt with the way this story ended? I mean, how did this work out for Dinah? I mean, you think Dinah's happy at the end of the story after she basically she fornicates with this guy. The guy wants to marry her. The guy marries her. And then her brother comes and murders the guy in his home and takes her back home and sticks her back in her father's house. Is this a fun story for Dinah at all? No. Now look, obviously it wasn't right for Simeon and Levi to do what they did. And again, you know, this is actually the perfect time to preach this sermon, coming off of the Judges series, because if you actually show up on Wednesday nights, you know that in the Judges series, you know, we've been hammering this point about, you know, just because people do things in the Bible, it doesn't mean that what they did was right. Obviously, it wasn't right for Simeon and Levi to kill the whole town. But you could also make another mistake. You could make one mistake thinking that what they did was right. But the other mistake is if you went too far the other way and said, oh, well, this wasn't right what they did, so I'm going to ignore it. Do not ignore. If we were supposed to ignore it, it would have been left out of the Bible. This is what the Bible is teaching us. The Bible is teaching us that stuff like this happens. Not that it's good, not that we should, but that stuff like this happens. Stuff like Judges happens. That's life. Here's what the Bible says. It says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, let me ask you this. Even though what Simeon and Levi did was wrong, did this proverb ring true? When lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Is that what happened in the story? Well, here's the thing. Your life is not going to play out just like Dinah's life. When you go out and you hang out with the daughters of the land, and you go out and you have all the unsaved worldly friends, and you're out unsupervised, and you're just out to have fun, and you're just into the ice cream cone, and you're just into the mall, and you're just into just having a little freedom or whatever. Here's the thing. You're not going to end up the same way, because I highly doubt that your brothers are just going to be just like loading a bunch of weapons and just putting a bunch of clips in, like tying a headband around their head and just going in and just like shooting up the whole apartment complex where this dude lives or something. That's never going to happen. I'm not saying your life's going to play out the way that the story played out, but I will say this. You go out and commit sin, the result is pain, misery, suffering, harm, and death. And death. So how can fornication lead to death? Huh? Fornication leads to death all the time. It's called abortion. Well, I would never do that. Well, you'd also never fornicate. But that happened. I'd never have an abortion. Well, you also weren't ever going to fornicate. Yet you did. You also weren't ever going to date an unsaved guy. But here you are, dating an unsaved guy. Next thing you know, you're dating an unsaved guy. Next thing you know, you're fornicating. Next thing you know, you're having an abortion like 25% of American women of that age group have already done. 1/4 of women are out there having an abortion, the wickedness. So it leads to murder all the time. It leads to death all the time. But it can lead to death in other ways because you know what? When God looks down and he sees his children just mocking him and disregarding his word and mocking the institution of marriage and just living however, you know, all he has to do is just snap his fingers and the car crash happens. All he has to do is snap his fingers and the disease comes. And the fornicating will help that along. All he has to do is snap his fingers and death occurs. So, you know, don't take this story lightly. Don't just ignore the Bible. You know, it's so funny when people walk out of a sermon like this. Well, I just don't agree with Pastor Anderson. If someone, look, if you don't agree with me, if you were to, let's say you were to come up to me after the service and say, Pastor Anderson, I don't agree with what you preached. You want to know what I would say to you? Here's what I would say to you. I would say, okay, you don't agree with what I preached? Okay, then here's a homework assignment for you. Go look up all the scriptures that I taught and come up with your own interpretation. Right? Since I'm interpreting it wrong according to you, then you go and interpret it yourself. But that's not what people typically do. They don't go home and interpret it themselves. You know what they do? They just ignore it. They walk out of the sermon and say, he didn't interpret that right. I don't really agree with that. And they walk out and they just kind of push it out of their mind. Turn on the Cyndi Lauper CD and let's go. You know what I mean? And instead of actually stopping and thinking about and grasping what the Bible has said. If you don't like what I'm saying, fine. But what are you going to do with all these Bible verses about being a keeper at home? Her feet abide not in her house. What are you going to do with the story of Dinah? What's God trying to tell us? What's he trying to show us? Why does he say she went out to see the daughters of the land? Next thing you know, this dude has got her in bed with him. What's he trying to say there? Is he trying to say, well, go ahead and go out to the daughters of the land. It's okay to not have Jacob around. It's okay to not have Simeon and Levi around. It's okay to be out by yourself. It's okay to go off to the mall by yourself. It's okay to go off to college by yourself. It's okay to go out of the workforce by yourself and be unsupervised parents. And just make sure that some dude doesn't lay with you. I mean, is that really what you're taking from Genesis 34? I mean, come on. Really? Because you know what? If you're going to walk out with that interpretation, I don't even know if I can even help you. You might need to go to some kind of a special needs church or something, you know, for people with your disability. You know what I mean? Like a church that could help you. You know, because, you know, you might need a special church that could, like, really go back, like a, what do they call it? Like a remedial kind of a, what is it called?
Remediation.
Is that a thing? Not special needs, special ed. Summer school. Yeah, you gotta go to summer school. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, you know, you might need to go to summer school at some kind of a special needs church that can really break things down to you. And I don't know, maybe you could even take a little bit of special ed English, and maybe a little bit of logic, maybe even a math class for crying out loud, and then come back in the fall, and I can work with you. But right now, you're slowing down the rest of the class here, okay? Because the rest of the class here understands that the Bible is giving us this story to warn us about the dangers of a young girl going out to see the daughters of the land without an adult, without supervision, without parents, without any kind. I mean, look, is Jacob a bad guy? Does anybody think Jacob's a bad guy in the Bible? Is Leah a bad girl? No. Okay, these aren't bad people. I don't think Dinah is a horrible person. I think Dinah is just your average girl growing up in a Christian home that just gets out there and gets sucked in and seduced by some pretty boy, by some smooth-talking, debonair dude that just sweeps her off her feet because it's happening every single day in 2021. Well, the Bible's outdated. Really? Then how come this story's playing out constantly? Not the murder part, but the other part is playing out all the time. The part that we should actually be paying attention to. The cause, not the effect, is playing out over and over and over again. Take it seriously, my friend. And look, you girls out there, don't get mad at your parents. Don't think like, well, I just want to have the freedom. You know what? You're not. STDs don't bring freedom. Being married to an unsaved dude's not the freedom that you want. Guess what? Unsaved dudes. And by the way, what if I told you that a really nice guy, a really nice, honorable guy who's unsaved, who doesn't get saved, guess which way he's going to be going in life? He's not going to be going this way. He's going to be going this way. So he might even be a great guy today, but what's he going to be like 10 years from now? Without the Lord, without the Holy Spirit, without the love of God. People who are not saved don't get better. They get worse.
Right.
You know what I mean? They go downhill. And what about this? You marry an unsaved guy, he might even eventually become a reprobate. See, here's the guarantee for never being married to a reprobate. Marry somebody who's saved, because a saved person can never become a reprobate. But unsaved people, even if it's a small chance, could go down that dark path. And imagine being married to a reprobate. Talk about a nightmare. Okay, but look, you don't want to be married to an unsaved person. You don't want to be out there losing your virginity. And by the way, and you know, there's so much in my sermon that I'm running out of time. I got to land the plane here in a minute. But, you know, the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? But yet it says of the strange woman, the woman who's been around, it says, well, she's on every corner. She's a dime a dozen. So let me explain something to you, young ladies. Pay attention, girls. If you go out and lose your virginity, you can never get it back. But yet you can become a whore whenever you want. It takes one day to become a whore, right? You could be a whore tomorrow if you wanted to. Right? I mean, it's pretty easy to go from being a virgin to being a whore. Like, but here's the thing. If you want your virginity back, you can't get it back. So that's a one-way valve. So maybe you should stop and think about the stupidity of your actions before you just give in and you think, oh, well, I have to do this so that he'll stay with me. I have to do this so he'll love me. This guy's so far out of my league and you know, I have to do this to keep him around. He's not staying with you. If he's out of your league, guess what that means? He's not going to be with you anyway. He's using you. He's enjoying you. He's defiling you. And then he'll move on to the next and the next and the next. You know, this guy, Shechem, he wants to marry the girl. What about in other Bible stories where they don't want to marry the girl? You know, what about guys like Amnon, who after he fornicates with the girl, he hates her and says, I'm done with you. And she's like, this is what? Thought you were going to marry me. Nope. See ya, sucka. That's out there, my friend. Now, look, I'm not trying to discourage you. Look, if you've lost your virginity, hey, I'm not trying to discourage you because you know what? God's mercies are new every morning. And all you have to do is just confess and forsake that to the Lord, not to the priest, not to me. I don't want to hear about it. But basically, I don't. That, you know, I'm sure some pervert priest would love to hear all the sordid details, but I'm not interested. I don't want to hear about your sins, okay? But let me tell you something. You know, you get with the Lord, if you've already made this mistake, if you've already committed fornication, whether you're a male or a female, you know, you go, you confess that to the Lord, you repent, and you get up and you do it again, and you do it right this time, and you don't do it again, okay? Look, that doesn't make you a virgin, though, does it? So our actions have consequences. Look, God's the God of the second chance. God will be merciful to you if you repent. God will give you another chance at a good life. There are lots of people here today who have, you know, committed really bad sins in the past, but now they're living a godly Christian life and have a good family. But you know what? I guarantee you, though, there are some scars that will never go away. And I guarantee you that they've suffered some repercussions to their actions that they can never undo. And I guarantee you that they would tell you, yeah, God's blessing me now. I have a good family now. I'm blessed now. But man, I wish I wouldn't have done that stuff. And it hurt. And I had to go through years and years of pain and misery and sorrow. And in fact, there are still some scars from that. So, you know, want to balance these two things. You know, I don't want to, look, if you've been out there and you've been a whoremonger or you've been a harlot out there, look, I don't want to discourage you and say like, oh, you're trash. You're not trash. God loves you. He'll forgive and forget. You can live a blessed life. Repent. But at the same time, though, when I'm talking to the Christian young girls that are growing up in a Christian home that haven't messed up yet, don't look at those ones that have messed up and say, oh, I can be like them. I can mess up. You know, a lot of them didn't grow up in a Christian home, so God might have cut them some slack for that reason. Or more likely, that's only a small part. Let me tell you the big part. The big part is you don't know the horrible things that they've gone through to get to this point where they are right now. That's the real story. You know, we look around at everybody in church, and isn't everybody look great this morning? Doesn't everybody look great? You are such a beautiful crowd this morning. I mean, just everybody look to the person to your left. Look to the person to your right. Don't they look great? You know, but here's the thing. Everybody looks great. We're all dressed nice, and we're all looking good, and we all got a big smile, and everybody's happy. But do you really know what's going on in everybody's life right now? Do you know what's gone on in people's past? Do you know the horrible things that people have gone through and the pain and the suffering that they went through 5 years ago or 3 years ago or even 5 hours ago? You don't know. So why don't you just trust the Lord and trust what I'm preaching to you, that you do not want to go out there and get into fornication. You do not want to go out there. And look, you say, well, I'm not going to fornicate. Okay, you don't want to rebel against your parents and go out living on your own, young lady. Because you know what? It's just a matter of time before your life takes a dark turn. And it's not worth it. It's going to be pain, sorrow, misery, and it's not worth it. Okay, God's commandments are not grievous. I don't go through life doing whatever I want. Your parents don't go through life doing whatever they want. No one in this room goes through life just doing whatever they want, whenever they want. If you want to find the people who do whatever they want, whenever they want, it's the homeless people on Baseline and the I-10. Yep. You want to find some people, they do what they want, when they want. Nobody tells them what to do. No schedule, no rules. They can stay out all night. Nobody's checking in with them. They don't have a curfew. That's your example. But you know what? Everybody in this room's got rules. Am I right? Yeah. Everybody in this room's got deadlines. They've got schedules. They've got boundaries. They've got accountability. They've got responsibilities. And you know what? When you're a young lady, your responsibility is to obey your parents and let them look out for you. And you say, I just want to go out and have fun. You know what? It's not worth it if going out and having fun involves you getting defiled. It isn't worth it. And look, I want you to have fun too. I have several daughters. I want my daughters to have fun. I try to take them to fun places and show them a good time and allow them to do fun stuff, but within the boundaries of propriety. And I'm not, when they turn 18, I'm not just going to be like, okay, you're 18 right now. Call me if you're going to be out past 1 a.m. Oh, you're 18 now. All right, let me ship you off to the University of whatever. And a lot of people think, well, it's a Bible college. But here's the thing. I'm not going to trust Bible. I don't trust those guys at Bible college. I've been to Bible college. I don't trust those guys. I don't. And I don't want to just put my responsibility of raising my child off on a school. You know, it's my responsibility to make sure that my daughters are protected and safe, and we're going to supervise them. Oh man, I'm with my parents. Get off that worldly attitude. And you know what? Here's the thing. With the boys, it's a little different. Because look, my boys, yeah, when they turn 16, yeah, they're going out, they're working jobs, they're out there, because that's what boys do. And you know what? Here's the thing about it. Obviously, there's a danger for them too, to go off into sin. But there's less of a danger for them because they're in their natural environment. They're supposed to grow up and go to work and be out and dealing with this stuff. You know, that's our whole life as men. We're going to spend our whole lives on that construction site. We're going to spend our whole lives in that office. We're going to spend our whole lives out there dealing with worldly people in our careers and stuff. But, you know, my wife, we've been married now for over 20 years. And you know what? My wife doesn't have to deal with the job site porta potty. She doesn't. She never has to deal with it. Now, I've had to deal with it hundreds and hundreds of times. Many of you have had to deal with it. But just think, my daughter's not going to have to deal with that. She's not going to have to deal with that. So she doesn't need to be prepared to deal with that or get used to dealing with that or grow up. And look, I'm just using the job site porta potty as like a microcosm of just the whole work world. And let me tell you something. A lot of young Christian girls, they just think it's going to be so glamorous to get out there and have a job. It's about as glamorous as that porta potty. Who works on a job site and you've been in that porta potty? Put up your hand if you work on those job sites And you know, you got a bunch of foul-mouthed construction workers. Everybody's got a Sharpie. Everybody's got a Sharpie. And everybody's using that porta-potty. It's a recipe for disaster. Okay? That's how glamorous every job is. And let me tell you something. I've worked a few different jobs. You guys have worked a bunch of different jobs. Hey, construction is my favorite job. I love working. And you know what? I would submit to you, you probably get exposed to less filth and sin in construction work than in a lot of other jobs. I bet it's even weirder sometimes in the office water cooler conversation. I bet it gets even weirder with the transvestite in the cubicle next door. Folks, I'm telling you, you getting out there and having your job and having your career is about as glamorous as a gas station porta potty. Who'd rather use the restroom at home? Let me explain something to you. Being a stay-at-home wife is a luxury. Being a stay-at-home mom is a luxury. How could you act like it's a drudgery? Oh, man, I wish I could be out. And look, we have women in our church that are out in the workforce. God bless them. I'm not mad at them. But I bet you they'd probably love staying at home and enjoying the life of a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home wife. You know, look, I'm telling you, it's not that cool. You know what? You know what it's like? It's like when you're on summer vacation as a kid and you can't wait for the school year to start. How long into the school year do you think, like, was I retarded? Who knows that feeling? The whole summer you're like, man, I want to go back to school. You get there for like a day and a half and you're just like, what was wrong with? Am I insane? This is torture. And then you spend the whole school year being like, man, I can't wait for summer. I can't wait for summer vacation. And then at summer vacation, you're just like, I'm bored. I want school to start. And then school starts, you're just like, nah! It's human nature. It's called being covetous. You're not content. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Be happy. Look, if your situation, whatever your situation is that God has put you in, you got to learn in whatsoever state you're in to be content. If you're a woman who's in a situation where you have to work and whatever, and you're out there doing that, then be content with that. Be happy with that. Okay, but let me tell you something. You know, you young Christian girls, don't just be out envying the worldly people out there, lest you end up like a Dinah when you're out there unsupervised doing whatever. And look, I'm not trying to win a popularity contest with this sermon. But I really hope that some young people will take to heart what I've said, and I hope some parents will take to heart what I've said, because I'm telling the truth. And like I said, you don't like what I preached? Fine. Then you write down every scripture. You can go back on the YouTube and get every scripture, and you go back and you look up every scripture, and you come up with a reason why I was wrong and an alternate meaning for that verse. But some of these, you're going to have a hard time finding any meaningful teaching that fits your lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to come to grips with this book. And, you know, it's funny when people want to come to me and argue with me about this stuff. When people want to argue with me about, I don't argue with them. I always just tell them, well, go do that then. If that's what you want to do, go ahead. Go do what you want to do. Because I'm not God. You don't have to convince me of anything. What if I don't approve of what you do? It doesn't matter what I think. I'm not God. I don't matter. I'm just saying stuff up here. I'm just up here 3 times a week saying stuff. Amen? Amen? Here I am. I said some stuff. And tonight at 6 o'clock, I'm going to say some more stuff. And on Wednesday night at 7, I'm going to say stuff. And here's the thing. You don't have to like what I say. You don't have to agree with what I say. You don't have to obey what I say. You can go out and do whatever you want. The world is your oyster. But you know what? You're also going to face the consequences for what you do. And the stuff I'm saying is wise stuff. Amen. That's from the Bible. I'm just trying to help you. I'm your friend. Now, with my daughters, you can't do whatever you want. That part of the sermon didn't apply to you. You're going to do what I say. All right. But to everyone else, do what you want. Right? I'm not your dad. I am your dad. But I'm not your dad. I'm not even your big brother. So I'm not just over here sharpening knives like Simeon and Levi, just loading the shotgun. Okay? Hey, it's your life. I'm just trying to help you, and I've told you the truth this morning. Be wise and understand, hey, you know what? As a young lady, I need to just live with my parents. As a young lady, I just need to live with my parents, and I need to date Christian guys and then I need to get married to a Christian guy, and hopefully I can marry a Christian guy that's going to pay my bills and support me and allow me to stay at home. Let's borrow God's enough word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord, and I pray that everyone here, Lord, even if they don't listen to everything that I said, would listen to what your word is saying and that they would understand the repercussions of their actions, Lord, and understand that even good people like Dinah, with good parents like Jacob and Leah, with good intentions like just going out to see the daughters of the land, can end up getting into grievous sin without intending to. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, Lord, and help us to just be smart enough to follow your advice in your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.